The six demon bag.
Terrific. A six demon bag. Sensational. What's in it, Egg?
Wind, fire, all that kind of thing.
Hello, everyone. My name is Andrew, and you are listening to Six Steaming Bags.
Lean in and say, this is Six Steaming Bag.
This is Six Steaming Bag.
But do it Drew style.
And stop saying steaming.
Yeah, please.
What is it again?
Six.
Or is it six steaming bags from now on?
No, thank you. Six that might be what demon bag.
This is Andrew, and you're listening to Six Demon Bag.
All right. Oh, nice.
So sweet.
All right. So right next to us on the table is the six demon bag. And Ryan, why don't you reach in there and pull out our first topic?
Reaching into the six demon bag.
Six steaming bags. That healthy is really good.
This is hearing a title of a movie or comic you've never seen and then trying to piece together the story based on that.
The Devil Thumbs a Ride.
Okay, Drew, give us your downer, completely realistic version of this movie.
You're just the Drew version.
I would say sort of like how in the 80s you had all of these films about Nam. This is a film that takes place in the 30s.
Where it's 47.
It's
made
a period
in 47.
Oh, it's a period
set in the 30s.
I'm sorry. Continue.
And basically you have this hobo during the Depression who, you know, travels from place to place.
Please, you're a hobo American.
Hobo American. A homosexual.
Now that's six steaming bags.
And he basically, you know, travels from place to place, learning about different people, learning how to con them, and
learning how to con them.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, this was the 30s, so, you know, people
were
still
bananas.
People were still able to have fun without the condoms.
I learned how to con them in health class.
Not me. Yeah. Anyway, keep going.
And
funny, real quick, funny story. Can I talk about health class real quick in high school?
Yeah.
Ooh,
so they passed
side six demon.
They did this
or something.
They did a
side bag.
They passed. So they did breast examinations for the girls. I mean, they taught them how to do self breast examinations with like a fake rubber.
Did you get to watch?
No, because the boys and the girls were separate. But the
you
boys,
mean like an anime?
Yeah. No, but the boys had to do self testicular examination for
did
cancer.
You watch?
No, we didn't touch our balls, dude. They passed around a rubber set of balls, right?
Did the balls have cancer?
I don't know. They passed around
a steaming bag.
It was a rubber set of balls.
Wow.
It was veiny and pruny like testicles.
What did it taste?
Go on.
I don't know because I never got a chance to even touch them because the kid behind me, Derek, his name was. As soon as we're passing them all up in
427.
We were passing them all up and actually I think his name was D'Angelo. They were passing them all up and down the
different.
I know, they're passing them all up and down the roads. And I'm the next guy. I turn around and look at him. As soon as he gets them, he takes one look at them and he pulls them apart and splits them in half and all the gel spills out.
Yeah, they're not supposed to be separated.
The health teacher got so fucking mad. She kicked him out of the place. She kicked him out of the room and sent him to the office.
Wait, you had a female health teacher?
I had a female health teacher. She was actually the gym teacher.
Who is?
Yes, ours was too, I think.
Teaching you how to squeeze testicles?
Yes.
Feel lumps?
Yes.
Nobody knows how to squeeze testicles more than the gym teacher.
No, right. Yeah. So anyway, this guy had like gel running all down his arms and he got kicked out. And the poor, sad, wrinkly rubber balls laid on the desk.
He had health class ball goo all over.
Yeah,
never to be caressed by.
And I never touched him, so I might have testicular cancer because I don't know how to check myself. All right, go ahead. Sorry.
Check yourself before you wreck yourself, Ed.
Back to the homosexual.
So
testicular cancer is bad for your health.
Basically, this guy
at least thrice daily. Anyway, The Devil Thumbs a Ride is a 1947 film noir directed by the Venerable Felix E. Feist.
Venerable. Most people are vulnerable.
I say vulnerable.
You're
not
wrong.
Vulnerable.
Superman is vulnerable with
it
kryptonite.
It is vulnerable.
It is venerable.
With kryptonite, he's vulnerable.
I'm looking it up in the dictionary.
If he's
venerable.
Thank you, Siri, or whoever that was.
With dictionary.com.
Thank you, dictionary.com.
Venerable.
The Venerable Jedi Knight,
dude.
Not the Vulnerable Jedi Knight.
Oh my god, you're such a nerd. Okay, the next topic on Six Demon Bag is favorite fuck-ups.
Okay, so I proposed this topic to broach the idea of times in your life when you really messed up. Basically, embarrassing moments. And I think I still feel bad about this incident, which is why as soon as I proposed this topic, this idea came to mind. I used to be involved with this organization. It was a volunteer thing. So we were put together with a lot of well-meaning strangers who became friends. And
brown shirts.
Yeah.
Knights of something.
So sometimes there's something that's right in front of you or that you even know. Like, you know it intellectually, but it hasn't sunk into your brain. You have not assimilated the information. And
like that time Archie Bunker joined the Klan on accident?
Exactly like that. This is not that different.
Side note, on accident.
I was...
give me shit for vulnerable.
I was standing around with a group of these volunteers with, you know, it was some downtime, and I think I was, you know, trying to be funny. And the Summer Olympics were on, and so I was regaling them with how dumb the speed walking competition was. And
was that really an Olympic?
It really was, and I couldn't believe it, so I was doing my observational comedy. And I was making fun of it, and I was doing my impression of their really stupid way of walking. And I did a little act out of this herky-jerky, spastic walk across the floor, and everyone was just laughing and laughing at how dumb this looked. And then it was time to go to work, and we all got up. And one of these girls had, like...
some kind of muscular...
malformed hip or something. Oh, no. And she just did her herky-jerky walk away.
Ministry of Silly Walk.
Yes. And I just wanted to jump out of my skin and kill myself.
Was she one of the ones who was laughing? That's important.
Yes,
in this
which
story.
Is worse, dude. It's worse. Yes.
She got it.
No.
Because you were not... Okay, I'm going to be your therapist and, like, say...
All right. First, I want to tell you about a steaming bag.
You can put yourself at ease on this one because she knew you were doing an impression of speed walking and not someone with a weird spine issue. If you had said, "This is my impression of a retarded person who has horrible spine problems," then it might have been really sad.
That would have been. Evil intentions. I was just trying to be funny. I was making fun of speed walking, but I knew this person had this condition, and I had seen her walk, and I had not.
You didn't just forgot she was there?
No, I just
okay.
didn't.
Okay. I have got you beat. I have got you hard beat, my all friend.
Right. Favorite fuck up.
Like, well, hard beats being one of my favorite general fuck ups, but. So. I was in school, and I was talking with somebody. I was talking with a classmate, you know, in the year behind me. So she was like a year younger, and she was Filipino or something, some sort of Asian descent. And we were talking about whether it was Jet Li or Sammo Hung or somebody like. I was trying to talk about whether it was this Chinese actor or like this Chinese actor that had been in the movie, and there was an episode of South Park where they went to Japan to play dodgeball, and the Japanese announcers for the dodgeball game were making a joke about how all Americans look alike. And so I, in my infinite idiocy, started quoting the South Park episode where the Japanese announcers were saying, "Oh, they all look alike."
Without the
context. And so I started saying, "Oh, they all look..." And then I froze, and she said, "No, they don't." And I was like, "Oh, but... I kept trying to fix it and just digging myself deeper and deeper."
You guys are assholes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Alright, so my father was a policeman, and he kept various firearms around the house all the time. I was a fan of the television show Tour of Duty, which was a Vietnam show. And I had just seen the Sarge on Tour of Duty, like, take an automatic and click back to slide, and I thought it was the coolest fucking thing I'd ever seen.
Wait, how old were you?
Like 10 or 11, I don't know, maybe 9, I can't even tell you, I have no idea. I was in grade school still, I know.
Old enough to wield a firearm, for
old
sure.
enough to watch Tour of Duty, and anyway, so I went upstairs where I knew my father kept a Browning semi-automatic pistol. And I took it out of the drawer, and I was fucking around with it, and I went in front of the mirror and did the whole slide lockback thing. Now, when I pulled it back, the slide locked all the way back, and I could see there was a bullet in a chamber because he had kept it loaded. I mean, I knew enough to know what a bullet, you know, in a chamber looked like. And so I didn't know how to make this. It was currently, the slide was locked back. It's an automatic, not a revolver, so the little blocky pistol on the top part locks back, and I didn't know how to get it to go back, and I couldn't put it away like that because then he would know I was fucking around with it. So I was like, there's got to be a catch on here somewhere or some kind of mechanism that causes the slide to click back.
And a little button to the side of the slide.
I couldn't find a button, so I assumed, okay, maybe when it's locked back like this, you pull the trigger, it's not going to fire, it just makes the slide go forward. But I'm not 100% sure. So I'm in the bathroom in front of the mirror, like I said, and I was like, okay, so where can I point this where it's going to do the least damage in case it does shoot? And at this point, I don't believe it's going to shoot at all. And I'm like, well, the toilet is right there. I look down at the toilet. There's that little shallow puddle of water in it. I point the pistol down at it thinking, well, even if it goes off, maybe there's enough water in there to slow the bullet down so it doesn't do a lot. You know, it doesn't cause any damage or anything. So I point it down at this thing, at the toilet, aiming for the eye of the toilet, I guess you'd call it, the drain. And I pull the trigger, and the loudest sound I've ever heard in my entire life, this huge flash, and my ears are ringing, and I'm blinded by toilet water because it's gone splattering everywhere.
I didn't know that part.
And my arm is encrusted in little bits of yellow toilet paper, like wet toilet paper, and it's in my hair. I mean, because it's just blown everywhere. And the only thing left is the back of the tank and the seat hovering over nothing because I've blown the freaking porcelain to pieces. And So I really fucked up there, and I was freaking out, and I thought this was going to be the worst thing I've ever done. My dad's going to kill me. And I went downstairs, and we lived with my grandma, and I told my grandma, oh my God, blah, blah, blah. I just blubbered basically because I scared the shit out of myself. And my mom came home, and my dad, like, my mother was a nurse, and she came home first, and my dad came home later. And to my surprise, I thought it was the worst thing I'd ever done in my life, and it turned out to be the least trouble I ever got in, because my parents were so happy that I had not blown my stupid fucking head off that they just took the toilet price out of my allowance, and that was the end of it.
Oh man, I got in bad trouble for way less than that.
Wait, well, you know? Yeah, because the key is it has to be potentially life-lethal.
Yeah,
yeah, so that their parental instincts override the need to beat your ass.
Relief overruled.
That is my favorite fuck up of yours, and I was hoping we would get to that story on the podcast. I definitely had that in mind, and also my own shame that I've been dealing with.
Mm. Yeah, yours was like a confession. Mine was just like...
No, I still feel really, really, really bad about what I did.
Yeah, I will never get over it. And also, I have many more fuck-ups for future episodes.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
Six steaming bags. The next topic on Six Steaming Bags. Surly Nerd Corner.
So...
otherwise known as... Ed's Corona Corner.
Oh, I'm not drinking Corona.
More's the pity. So, early on when I met Ed, I don't know if this was at the warehouse where I met him, or...
most likely.
It may have been one of the first times we hung out. In fact, I think it might have been the first time we hung out. Ed pounded a bunch of beers, got drunk right away.
Was it at lunchtime when we were all working together?
It could have been lunch. It could have been after lunch.
It was liquid lunch.
And I as just a goof, tried to sing the Gizmo song from Gremlins. And I went like, oh, and Ed turned and sneered and corrected me. Well, right now, Ed.
Wait, what did I do? I don't even remember this.
You looked at me and you're like, you fucking moron. And then you sang the correct Gizmo theme.
Are you sure that was me?
Oh, yes.
I don't know if I could do that.
Oh, you're not drunk enough. We need to
get a... No. Yeah, I don't know. That was me? I think I must have been pretty drunk.
You were... Yeah, well, like I said... It was a
fucking idiot.
And I was like, oh, shit. This guy's for real.
I can only do Mogwai when I've had about 4 Coronas. And so I've only had 4 Japanese beers. I can't do Mogwai.
Yeah, all right. Fair enough.
You got to be Tsing Tao's or something for me to do Mogwai.
So is there anything you are surly about these days?
Well, let me think. What should I talk about? Should I talk about how much I love something or how much I hate something right now?
As long as you've got that ire, as long as your blood is angered up.
Okay, I had something just a second ago and I lost it. Something
keep,
that makes
keep drinking.
Me,
keep drinking.
Makes me, I went to see Hotel Transylvania with my 12-year-old and she loved it.
I would see it with a...
She also loved Godzilla.
Yeah, she thinks Godzilla.
I love Godzilla
the
too.
New, well, but she the newest
strikes
one.
Against both
the Gareth
of
Edwards Godzilla.
And, yeah.
I'm going to get surly.
Which, can I say something again?
Let
Gareth
him fight.
Edwards... got a Star Wars movie out of that Godzilla movie, and I swear to God, they meant to get Gareth Evans. Because when I heard Gareth Edwards, I got really excited, because I was like, oh, the guy that did The Raid, he'll make an awesome Star Wars movie. And then they said the guy that did Godzilla, and I was like, oh, okay. Yeah, okay. Yeah. I feel like they just made a mistake, and then they had to go with it, because they already called him.
All right, well, let's
go back to Hotel Transylvania.
Hotel Transylvania.
Yeah,
okay.
And I should just... I kind of cursed myself afterwards because I was like, I should just be able to go and enjoy something with my daughter and not worry about it. And she was like, oh, Dad, I really like that and everything. What did you think? Which is the worst fucking thing she could ask me. And I was like, I mean, there was a farting mummy and there was all this stuff. And I was like, well... I'll just pick one thing. But that one thing turned out to be the one thing that really drove me nuts. And it was like, vampire... I said, honey, vampires cannot have babies. They can't have babies. Why could they have babies? It's not a curse if you can have a baby. And the baby grew old. That didn't make sense either.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so if you were pregnant...
That's like elves, too, though. How can elves grow into adulthood?
Just slowly is all.
It's very, very
but
slowly.
But a vampire can't grow?
But elves
that
are
doesn't
immortal.
Make sense. That's an Interview with the Vampire. They had a little girl that was a vampire. She never grew.
That's
she cut
true.
Her hair and it came back the same length. She
Claudia.
Cut her
well,
hair.
I don't like that though.
What,
same
that her
with
hair grew back?
True Blood.
You are so.
I
this
a,
is
I
your
surly
nerd.
My
yeah.
surly nerd thing on True Blood, they very specifically made a point. Bill at some point was like, oh, good thing I shaved just became before
yeah,
I became a vampire.
I remember that.
And then the character Eric. From season 2 to season 3 or whatever.
He was a Viking
a
with long blonde
haircut.
Hair.
That's true.
He
got a
hair. Totally
so
fine.
Did he have to cut it every night or something?
He must have had to cut it every second.
For vampirism to be a curse, and for you to be a creature of the night, you cannot also be a creature of the day. You can't walk in sunlight. And I realized that in Dracula himself did walk outside during the day. Now, this was foggy London during the industrial era, where probably not a lot of sunlight reached the street level anyway.
Did he do that? In Bram Stoker's Dracula, the movie, they say that. But I don't remember that from the
in
book.
In the novel, he's walking around Victorian England, but he cannot use his full powers. So he's in a weakened state,
okay.
Which at least has some resonance.
Vampires can't have babies, and even if they have a baby, which they can't, the baby can't grow. Because that's what's the point? You're not a vampire. What's the curse?
I agree. That's a little too alive
to
be undead.
I could not accept that, but my 12-year-old girl could. God bless her.
I hope you're preparing her for the real world where vampires are terrifying.
Right. I should be. I'm going to go home and wake her up with a pair of plastic fangs right now.
Thank you. Next topic.
Next topic on the Six Demon Bag. Nerd Heresy. Isn't that what we just did?
We did Surly Nerd. Nerd Heresy is something where you go against the grain with your opinion.
Okay. I don't give a damn about processing power when it comes to gaming systems.
Okay.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I care. I'd like to have more powerful Nintendo systems, but the idea that somehow if you introduce other technology at the expense of processing power, it's no longer next gen, I don't quite get that. Especially when you already have two other devices that give that fits that need in the market.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I like the idea of motion controls, maybe not the way they were executed, but I like the idea of a portable console. I like the idea of someone trying to give us new things. And it's not like we're being deprived of great graphics because you already have a Sony and a Microsoft. And if you have money, you have a PC. So I don't understand why you need three identical products on the market. And this just really bugs me, where there seems to be people who are just angry that this different thing exists.
Spoken like a Nintendo apologist.
Oh, Nerd Heresy, sir.
Well, I've come to accept the fact that I am a Nintendo fanboy. I mean, I own a 360, I own a PlayStation 4, but I
pretty much... PlayStation 4?
It should be noted that old Velvet Pipes owns every video game system and video game ever known.
Are you calling him Old Velvet?
Old Velvet Pipes.
Oh, Old Velvet Pipes, okay.
But I have owned every Nintendo system except Game Boy Advance and Virtual Boy.
Every Nintendo iteration, yeah. See, like, when I QC'd for 2K, we got the Wii, and we were playing the PlayStation. I think when I was there, we were doing PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360. And then the Wii came along, and I fucking hated it. I hated being on the Wii.
Oh,
because it meant...
The Wii was so great. It was the greatest ever.
I worked overnight, and it meant I had to get up and stand in front of the fucking TV and wave this thing at the television, and I freaking hated it.
It was too much physical exertion for you.
For an overnight job, I just want to sit in my chair and talk shit. I don't want to, like, sit there with a freaking wand. Now, Drew, PlayStation 4 has a VR system, and it's not the Oculus Rift, but it is affordable, and it appears to be the fastest growing home VR market is for the PS4.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think you're going to invest in a headset?
Not yet. You kind of need to go through this like tech demo, we don't know what we're doing phase of VR before you start to get to actual realized games.
Right, you gotta wait for the technology to work the bugs out and then get it like a couple years down the
road. Except VR is here now. I mean, it's still very much the Wild West, and there's a lot of different peripherals coming out. There's a lot of different competing systems, which leads me to this field recording.
Okay, here we are at IMAX VR, the flagship location. For those of you not in Los Angeles, it's right by beautiful CBS Studios, where I used to work as a page. We each did the John Wick experience, followed by the Raw Data experience. John Wick uses a new special proprietary VR headset. It was the Star VR, and it's super high def and has extra wide field of view, which was wasted on Ryan because he couldn't wear his glasses inside the headset.
It's a little blurry, but it just makes the challenge more. It just makes more of a challenge.
Well, that said, Ryan beat my high score in John Wick. It was pretty awesome. Like, as soon as you step into John Wick, I was like freaking out. I was like, oh no, I'm on the roof.
Be set.
Yeah.
At all angles.
It's pretty busy today. This place is...
surprisingly.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we've been trying for weeks
Monday during
to get a ticket for a 10-minute slot. After we did John Wick, we did Raw Data, which is a future samurai ninjas versus robots kind of deal.
Jeff used swords, I use guns.
And
two totally different experiences.
Two different experiences, and we're about to do Star Wars, and we'll check back in a minute. Ryan's doing the Star Wars VR experience right now. He's looking at R2-D2. He seems quite confused. He's performing some maintenance on the Millennium Falcon. This is a much more lower-paced game than John Wick or Raw Data. He's not flailing about wildly, getting strangled in his IMAX VR cord. It looks more like an exploration experience. It's more kind of cinematic. On screen, I can see there's like a 3D environment that he's navigating. He's pressing a bunch of buttons on some landing struts on the Millennium Falcon. If this were the John Wick experience, he would have killed 50 people by now. Or if this were the other game, Raw Data, I would have died 50 times by now. So this might actually be a little more relaxing for a long-term game. I think John Wick and the Raw Data were a little too intense. If I played that for an hour, I would probably pass out. And he just got a lightsaber, and he's attacking the Millennium Falcon, which can't be good. He's blocking laser blasts with his lightsaber, or he's trying. Oh, shit, I think Ryan actually has the Force. He's actually blocking lasers. Fantastic.
Okay, and we're back.
When I'm playing video games, I don't want all these bells and whistles. I just want to sit on my butt. And it, like, when I play them, it's like my kids are usually asleep or something, so I don't even use the freaking headset. I don't want to talk to anybody. I'm the like most misanthropic gamer ever. I just want to kill strangers.
So that makes sense, but you know, you can play Tetris or you can play Call of Duty. It's all on a spectrum. Mm-hmm. And the stuff Ryan and I did, you know, I've seen you at Comic-Con playing these, you know, when we did the Square Enix Bungie Run, stuff like that. You know, sometimes you do want to get physical. When Ryan and I were playing the John Wick game, I'm kind of embarrassed to say, but I was squeezing the trigger of this submachine gun controller so hard that like my hands and forearms were burning.
For the record, I was not.
Yes, you had a very casual, but like there's a sense of presence. You are immersed. Waves of enemies are coming at you. You're getting sniped from all sides. And the thrill is so much more visceral and so much more elevated. And I'll be honest, like, I don't think I could play that John Wick game for an hour. Like, I think my heart would give out and I would like cramp up in my hands. But you are holding this bomb-ass submachine gun, and it feels real. And if you're not Ryan, you're not racking the slide on top like he does in every game we try.
If they didn't want you to rack the guns, then they shouldn't put a rack on the guns.
True, but they did tell you to load the gun. You lower it and raise it.
Oh, well, that's silly. I wasn't paying attention at that point.
All right, fair enough.
See, like, I would be really interested in trying that, but I don't want that intensity in my house, in my living room. You know, I don't want to sit there in my living room and be sweating like that.
Well, you won't. You'll have to go to the IMAX VR center.
I sweat enough just playing, like, Dead Rising, you know, when I'm by myself or something.
Sweat
like,
enough just sitting still.
But like I don't even like a home fucking theater system in my house, you know. I don't want the TV that freaking loud. Like that's how I am, you know. Because it's gonna wake up the whole house, and somebody's gonna come and ask for a drink of water. And if I'm sitting there jumping around and pointing at shit and screaming, it's like people are gonna come in, you know, and bug me and fuck
and
up
get
my game,
whapped
so.
In the forehead with a
with the muzzle of a plastic gun.
Or he's gonna shoot the toilet with his light gun.
Not that they're not gonna get whapped in the head with a muzzle of a plastic gun anyway. If they come and bug me on playing video games.
Next topic for the Six Demon Bag. Hey, successful topic, everybody. Weird hobbies.
Weird hobbies.
All right, like ding, 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 ding. What?
That we have or that
making
we know
candles
of.
Out of your earwax or something?
Yes.
That's what you do?
Weird hobbies weird that hobby. We have.
It's nice to keep your ears clean.
And have illumination.
Actually, I have an idea for this one. Ryan, do you have those handcuffs?
Whoa.
Do you want to get those handcuffs?
Get the handcuffs, put them on.
Really?
In this segment, I want you to escape the handcuffs. Ryan and I, at least, enjoy a good physical challenge. And one of the weird classes we took in LA was this espionage class where we learned how to escape from handcuffs. One of the things I really hate about Ryan is that he is freakishly good at escaping from handcuffs.
He's like Billy the Kid.
Sure. There's
you know, My father was a policeman, and this might bleed into the fuck-up segment or something, but once he left his handcuffs at home, and I handcuffed myself behind my back, and I had to wait till he came home because he had the fucking keys.
Yeah.
And I sat there all day in handcuffs. I did not have the skills that you have to get out of handcuffs.
Now, we were told in class that this is a perishable skill. You don't not do it for a year and expect to be able to get out of handcuffs.
Oh, really? You got to keep at it?
Well, it's... The lock inside of a handcuff is a simple mechanism, but it is a very delicate mechanism. So you have to place your lock pick very precisely. And this is literally like a bent paperclip or a bobby pin. You need something about the size of a handcuff pin, but I promise you, Ryan is annoyingly good at this. And when I say annoying, at the culmination of our espionage class, they handcuffed us and locked us in the trunk of a car. I think they barely had time to close the trunk on Ryan before he popped up out of the trunk with his hands out of the cuffs. So then I go into the trunk in the handcuffs, and I'm feeling pretty confident because this is my second escapology class. Mm-hmm. And... maybe it's because I'm 6'2 and a trunk was too cramped a space. Maybe it's because the handcuffs were reversed on my wrist. But as I was like pulling the handcuffs up to try to work the pin into the lock, and maybe I was just breathing too shallow and building up carbon dioxide, and my biceps and shoulders started cramping. And I think I was in the trunk of this car for like, I want to say 11 minutes. And Ryan later repeated something to me that was really pretty sad. But everyone was just standing around bummed out as I was struggling in the trunk of this car.
We were very close to just pulling you out of there.
And
just in case you had died. The instructor was like, should we just get him out of there? And I was like, no.
Are you claustrophobic?
I'm not claustrophobic at all.
I am. I never thought I was. My dad, my dad locked me in a trunk when I was like 6 or something. Because I asked him to. He was washing the car. And I asked him, yeah, Dad, lock me in the trunk for a laugh. You know, I just want to see what it's like. He walked away. He went in the house or something. And I was pounding on it and screaming to get out by the time he finally came back and let me out. And this was when I was 6. And I totally forgot about it. And then years later, I was in high school, and we were in a full ride, you know, a bunch of kids in a full ride of a car. And I said, you know what? I'll go in the trunk. There's too many people in the back seat. I got in the trunk, and we went a block before I was kicking the seats and, like, let me out because I was freaking out, and I didn't realize it.
It was a flashback to the time your father had locked you in the trunk?
Yeah, I don't know. I was mildly claustrophobic. Like, I'm not claustrophobic in an elevator. I'm only claustrophobic if there's no way, if I don't see a way out. I'm in a closet, it's fine, because I know I can get out. I'm in an elevator, I know I can get out. But if I can't see a way out, my prom, I went in a car.
Whoa.
Went in the back of a limo, and the door, the windows in the back didn't
open. Just say Ed was in a lot of tight spaces during his prom. Ooh. All right, guys, let's get into picks. What are you watching, enjoying, places you're going, whatever you're into this week that you'd like to recommend to people listening? I'm going to go first. I want to talk about The Expanse. Sorry, I've been chewing everyone's ear off about this show, but it's a sci-fi original series based on the books by S.A. Corey, I want to say. It's... unlike anything else on sci-fi, certainly, in that it's really high-budget, well-polished, slick, gorgeous-looking, well-acted, well-shot, well-produced, amazing set design, incredibly grounded in reality. It's like a hard sci-fi series. The story is about a motley crew that are trapped in... between factions of this Cold War between Earth and Mars. And it's based on a long series of sci-fi novels, and so it's got plot to burn. The stakes are high, the ball gets rolling, and things continue to escalate, and it has zero slack. It's unlike almost any other show on TV. So right now, my pick is Sci-Fi's The Expanse. All right, Ryan, what's your pick for this week?
Having binged on just about everything, do I really have to?
Talk about that girly show you like.
I like Jane the Virgin. It's a great show. It's as far as CW shows go, it's probably the best one I've ever seen. Except there's like 44 episodes on Netflix, and they're an hour long each. And I don't think I can keep binging that. It's just too damn much.
Yeah, I don't think you have to binge when there's like multiple seasons of a regular show.
You have to ration, that's for sure. Ed?
If we're talking, I'm going to keep up the TV theme, I guess. I'm watching the Lethal Weapon TV show, believe it or not. And I'm the hugest fan of the original Lethal Weapon like that you could come across. I could recite it and everything. And
pop quiz.
I thought...
Recite a part of the original Lethal Weapon.
Oh, shit, you put me on the spot.
You want to jump? Jump! You want to jump? Jump! Jump! Go ahead and jump!
Well, then fine. Let's do it! Let's do it, asshole! I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. You want to do it?
You're getting too old for this shit.
Yeah. So I thought I'd be the last person to ever watch this and everything, because it's a, you know, it's a remake, and I hate remakes, and it's TV, so it's going to be watered down, Lethal Weapon, but I gave it a shot. I don't know why. I think I was bored, and I put it on, and they changed Riggs into, like, an ex-DEA agent from Texas and all this, and he gets... his wife gets killed by, not by South African slimes, but by like Mexican cartel guys now and everything. And man, it's really good. It's like, I used to watch, it reminds me of watching like Starsky and Hutch when I was a kid or something, because it's a funny, like action filled, like buddy cop show. It's like, you know, when we've been watching like all the cop shows for the past like maybe two decades, I feel like have been like NCIS and procedurals and very depressing, child molestation, all this kind of stuff. And it's a fucking revelation to go back to just a fun cop show where, like, somebody rolls a truck or jumps out a window or smashes, you know, falls into a pool, like, every episode, you know? And the guy who plays Riggs, Clayne Crawford, is really likable, and fucking Damon Wayans is Murtaugh, and I was like, this sounds awful. But they're, and it sounds awful, it's just me saying it right now, but their interplay is really funny. They look like they're having a great time. They get along real well. All this, the supporting cast is all great. They did a cool thing where, like, you know, they got the angry captain back who yells at him every time, like, Riggs, I can't believe you fucking blew up, you know, so-and-so this week and all this. And Riggs is an alcoholic, and he's seeing the cop psychologist all the time and everything, and there's a little bit of sexual tension with them. God, I mean, it's all right.
So you're awesome. Into it. You're into this week.
I'm into it.
Well, I have two picks this week. The first...
You can only have one pick.
Yeah, no two picks.
Okay.
Because I got two picks.
All right. In that case...
Riggs and Murtaugh.
In that case, I'm going to go with... Mob Psycho 100. It's based off the web comic of the same name by a guy named One. He's the one that created One Punch Man, which is also on Netflix, so check that out if you haven't seen it already.
Did you sneak in your second pick?
Nope. Because my second pick would be The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild.
But
Mob Psycho 100 is about this kid named Mob who has these insane psychic powers. There's really nothing special about him. Like, he's not popular, he's not strong, and, you know, he's not particularly attractive, but he's got these insane powers, and there's like a countdown meter where every time something will set him off, you'll see the counter go up to like 5%, 20%, 80%, and when it gets to 100, his powers goes off and he's almost invincible. I watched the first episode about five months ago, and I'm like, yeah, okay, whatever. And I watched half of episode 2 about 2 months ago, and I'm like, yeah, okay, whatever. I finished episode 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7 this past weekend.
So your power meter went up.
It's a 12 episode series, and it's short, but I'm enjoying it right now.
I mean, if it's by the guy that did One Punch Man, that's good enough for me.
Yeah, it's not done by the same animation studio that does One Punch Man, and the art style and the animation style is very different, but it's still pretty enjoyable.
All right, so we got our picks. So this concludes our first episode of Six Demon Bag. I'd like to give special thanks to Colleen Green for the use of her song Why Do You Call Me off the Green One album. Just a reminder, you can email us at sixdemonbagpodcast@gmail.com. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram at sixdemonbagpodcast. Please write us a note or make a suggestion of a topic or anything you'd like us to include or cover. And you can tweet us at sixdemonpodcast. Drew, take us out.
Bye.
Dude, the velvety pipe. Do more of that.
Velvet pipes.
This has been Six Demon Bag.
Now say, tonight we will come out no more.
Tonight we dine on turtle soup.